Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you couldn't. Now look at that doc, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Oh.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, August 7th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host. I'm your fucking something. Host Jake at Morris, as usual. I think I got a pretty good show for you guys lined up. Had a pretty awesome week. I'm going to definitely get into the Warrior Dash and definitely going to be talking about some wrestling a little bit later. Got a definite, you know, bunch to say about that stuff. But I'm definitely not going to get into that right off the bat. What I'm saying definitely a lot right off the jump. What I'm going to do first is, because shortly I will be joined by my guest for this evening, which different from many guests that you hear on this show, because he's not a wrestler. He has nothing to do with wrestling. I would go out on a limb and say he probably doesn't even watch wrestling. So anyway, what it is this guy, you know, I watch America's Got Talent. As you know, I talked a lot about it last year, watched it again this year. Obviously, you know, if you listen to my intro or you listen to anything that I'm into and stuff, you know, I'm hugely into comedy. So this year they brought on, they have their dance acts, their danger acts, their singing acts, their comedians. And this guy is a comedian. And he's I think he's a really funny comedian. He's got a really unique style to the way he does things. So, you know, I personally thought this guy is definitely going far in the competition. Unfortunately, he was voted out the first week at Radio City Music Hall. You get through all sorts of you initially do your auditions in whatever town you're in. And then they send you to Vegas, and then if you make it through Vegas, you get to the live shows, which is Radio City Music Hall. Well, this guy got all the way to Radio City Music Hall. And, you know, unfortunately, he was voted off first week. I voted for the guy, so I don't know. You know, like I said, I think he's a tremendous talent, and he'll actually be joining us in a little bit. So have a guy on the show that was actually on NBC television a couple weeks ago. I think that's pretty fucking awesome. Actually, as I speak, I'm trying to turn my TV on and then turn it down because that's the type of professional I am. And so that way I can maybe view the live results of AGT as I do the show. So, and then cursed random things that happen. And then somehow Honey Boo Boo's on my TV. See, strange turn of events. You just, you never know what you're going to get. So anyway, I did definitely want to touch on AGT as a whole and what's going on this season. Number one, like I said, I did not like the fact that Kevin Downey Jr. was voted off first week. There's these other guys called the Christef brothers, and I think they're very, very talented. Brothers, I guess by name. And, they have like a really, physical, like those acts that you get one dude balancing on the other dude's head and all of that. So it's like that gimmick. AGT's not taping. So I'm, this is strange. All right. Just bear with me here. Yep. They got this crazy, like, physical act where, the dude bounces on the other dude's head and all this, and, pretty crazy stuff. They do some pretty good innovative things, and, they went through first week, so I thought they deserved that. A couple of the things I'm just not so down with. Second week, you had, the letdown on my end was, the Aquanauts got eliminated. And this is, something I normally would never have any exposure to. It was a synchronized swimming thing. But these chicks, they went in there and, had the big thing in the pool going. And they had high heels on and they were doing these crazy synchronized, like, dance routines in the water. And I thought that shit was just on point. So that was when I was really not happy with the fact that it was eliminated. And week three is the one that we have upon us now. What they're doing now is the voting or, what have you, the results for tonight. And I'm probably not even going to get the gist of it because I'm doing a show. So, I'll have to catch up with it afterwards. But me personally, the ones that I voted for on this episode was there was a guy, this guy's whole thing is like snakes and stuff. Now, anybody who knows me knows I hate snakes, can't stand them, would never own one. On a side note, in New Brunswick, that's North Jersey, this I think was last week or the week before, a snake crawled up a vent and strangled two children upstairs. It was the pet store was downstairs. The thing got out of its cage, crawled up through the air conditioning vents or the heat vents or whatever, and strangled a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old dead. So those are the type of animals they are. These are not pets. These are not something you want to just have in your house. I think they're disgusting animals. That's why they shouldn't be pets. But, from a viewing standpoint, I don't mind viewing them, especially if they're on the TV and, you see it as a danger act. You figure that's a constrictor. That's something that killed a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old, for a night out. And that's what happens. This fucking guy, he had a venomous snake on his audition, and he blew up a balloon in his mouth, and he had the snake strike the balloon out of his mouth, pop the balloon from his face. So I'm like, this guy is definitely, pretty crazy. Definitely something I would go nowhere near, as I just said, I don't like snakes. This guy, and I really don't think he's going to go through off of this, but I think 100% the guy should. He came out last night on the live show, and he had like the stage kind of like fenced off, so there, what he was dealing with wasn't going to get out there. And the dude was just right in there with a 10-foot-plus cobra. I've never seen, I went to the Philly Zoo, they got cobras there. I've seen, Steve Irwin run around with cobras and shit. And I've never seen a cobra that size. I'm no cobra expert, but I've never seen a cobra that size before. And this guy's running around on stage with it, and, like, this thing's, you know, normally they handle it with those little tongs. Well, I don't know what they call the snake tongue. And he just, like, threw that shit in the air as soon as he started the thing. And he's, like, you know, getting in its face and grabbing it and holding it up in front of him, and it's looking at him. And this thing could kill an elephant in one strike. And he was just hanging out with it, you know, and, you know, grabbing it and, like, tapping it on the shoulder, like, hey, snake. I mean, I just don't think that America, you know, or any of that is really going to get how dangerous it was, and how severe and insane that act was, because there was no actual trick. So even the judges right across the board were like, I don't see what the trick was. And Howard's going, yeah, the snake should have been attacking you. He wasn't attacking you. And we needed that. And it's like, no, you don't get it. Like, you don't even see snakes a third of that size, the same breed, being handled by, you know, Steve Irwin without one of those sticks. You know, any of these snake guys without one of those metal sticks. And this guy's just grabbing it and tapping it on the shoulder. So I think it was tremendously dangerous, and I think that 100% should definitely go through, and I don't think it will. There was these dancing Chinese girls, and they had this crazy act together where they, like, you know, one would stand there in the front, wave her arms around, and then you have the whole crew, like, behind her, and they'd wave their arms so it looked like she had, like, 100 arms. They were doing that thing, and, you know, it looked really, really cool. Their whole, you know, they were synchronized. They got it off, man. It looked so cool. And, you know, I would vote for them because I think they're really good, and because, I mean, the Chinese government will probably put these kids down if they don't go through. So, I mean, they're all females, and I don't think they're big on that whole female thing over there. Yeah, another guy. Yeah, I don't want to misspeak his ethnicity, but Korean, Japanese. He's one of those guys. Amazing dancer, and he did something where they put the, you know, the big video screen behind it, and they did like a video game thing where he pretty much fought the guy on the video game on the screen through his dance moves and stuff, and it just looked cool as hell. It was a really, really cool show that he put on with that. That's another guy that I definitely voted for. And then the fourth one I voted for was this chick. I mean, and they keep focusing on it, and it is what it is, but, you know, I mean, she's quite the heavy set chick, and, she's just got an amazing voice. I mean, her voice is just off the chain, so, you know, and I voted her too. So I definitely think that, that should go through too. And they had this other flipping act. The one dude looked like he broke his leg on it, you know, but, you know, crazy acrobatic type situation. There was another band they had on there, young kids, and I thought it was absolutely horrific. I don't think there was anything good about what they were doing. Yeah, I think the dude definitely broke his leg. They're showing him backstage taking his sock off and stuff, and they're like, yeah, darling, you need to go to the hospital. I'm reading the thing on the screen. But yeah, he just tried to play it off like it's all good, and they're like, yeah, you know, things happen. So, that's what that was. You know, I guess we'll see who goes through. But I do believe at this time I have my guest, Kevin Downey Jr.
Hello?
Kevin.
Yeah, baby. How's it going?
All right, man. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So, yeah, we were just talking. Well, I was just talking. You know, you were voted off first week of the America's Got Talent at the, you know, Radio City Music Hall. But you want to get to know, you know, more about you and everything. How did you actually get started in comedy?
You know, I kind of bombed out of college. And comedy was plan B.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. I was going to some... Can I curse or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to some shitty community college in Michigan to be a cop. And like the 14th time I got pulled over, the guy's like, look, man, you're not going to jail, but you're going to lose your license. And I told him I wanted to be a cop. He's like, you're never going to be a cop. What's plan B? I was like, I don't know. thinking about maybe doing stand-up comedy. He goes, all right, go do that in New York. You don't have to drive there. They got subways. And that's what happened.
Huh. Now, you're from Detroit initially?
Yep.
What was it like growing up and out of Utopia?
Well, the house I grew up in is gutted, but the ones around it that are still standing are selling for $6,000, but you can get them for $4,000. You can talk them down.
Mm.
That's what that little paradise is like.
was it rough growing up there, or was it, you know, just kind of...
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I had my first racially motivated ass kicking 6 days before my 6th birthday, and I'm not kidding. When I really thought it was 3 members of the Jackson 5. I didn't know any better, and one of them was Janet. That's the embarrassing part.
Wow, actually, too, I read when you were 6, you were on the Bozo Show.
Yep, I hate to brag.
Was that before or after the ass kicking?
That was after. That was like first or second grade.
Okay. So what was that like, being on the Bozo Show?
Well, you know, I was a kid. There was nothing better. I mean, I don't get that close to clowns anymore, and I was a little creeped out then, but I figure Bozo's a safe clown.
Yeah. That was no inspiration for your comedy, or did you have other things watching?
No. I did Bozo because I wanted, I mean, it's Detroit, we're all into hockey. I want a free hockey stick.
Right.
That's what I was there for. I think I want an 8-pack of Orange Crush, too.
Nice. So who were your inspirations growing up, you know, comedically?
This is going to sound dumb, but I'm not fucking with you. As far as performing, my biggest influence is Elvis Presley. Not comedically, but as far as performing.
Right.
Comedically, you know, I was into, like, the weirdo one-liner types, which is why I do what I do. Like, Rodney Dangerfield, Bobcat Goldthwait, Emo Phillips, Stephen Wright, of course. Like, these legendary 80s guys that were and are hysterical. I started doing one-liners, so I was so afraid of the silence. I thought, I better get to the joke as soon as possible.
Right. So when you started out doing comedy and, you know, and hitting the road and stuff like that, well, you know, what was the experience like hitting the road?
Well, when I first started out, have you seen my act, any of it? Or did you just see, like, the 90 seconds on America's Got Talent?
Yeah, I've looked some things up, and I definitely, you know, I saw some of your act. Actually, I don't know exactly if this is a compliment or, but I searched and I found you had a DVD last night. And I said, oh, well, I got to get this. So I searched Amazon. And I was able to find it used for 95 cents with $4 shipping. So I got it coming to me for under $5. So.
Oh, you should have saved your money. That thing blows.
Well,
we shot 2 shows. The first one was in front of 9 people, and I just tanked, and they used that one. They cut in a few pieces of the better show. Watch my collar in it. Because in one of them, my shirt collar is in the jacket. One of them is out, and you can tell which. Like, I'm tanking, like I'm doing jokes, and no one's laughing. Give me your address. I got a CD coming out next week. I'll send you that one to make up for the $6 you just got sodomized on buying that thing.
All right, definitely. So I mean, did they put in any canned laughter or anything, or you just literally had 9 people laughing on the DVD?
No, it's brutal. It's
Oh, wow.
Brutal. There's no canned laughter. There's no nothing. I mean, I tried to get them not to release it. And we're like, no, we got a deal. I never got a penny for it.
Well, at least you're not getting ripped off on that $5 sale, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but to get back to your earlier question, I mean, I'm kind of a weird beard on stage. You know, I try to do something a little different. My goal has always been more to, like, confuse them and make them laugh at the same time. But when I first started hitting, like, I was, you know, it took me, like, I don't know, 6 months to get a laugh in New York City. When I started hitting the road, there was just like, the fuck is this freak show doing? And I would just bomb. I would bomb like the Enola Gay. And then I just figured out how to do it and started doing it better and, you know, went on from
now,
there. Now, go ahead.
Touring and, you know, being a comedian and bombing you know, how do you handle that and take it in stride and, you know, step your game up? Do you just kind of run the same program and just, you know, wait until it sticks or it hits with somewhere, or do you have to, like, revamp your whole set every time?
Nah. I do the same towns now I did when I first started out when I was eating it. It's just I've learned how to do the road. Every part of the country is different. Eastern PA is way different. Working Eastern PA is way different from working Western PA. And now, I mean, I've been doing it 24 years. You send me into a gig, I know what to expect. I know what to handle it. I know how to handle it. The only thing that I've never done a cruise ship, and I've never done England, which I'm dying to do. And I think I'm probably going to get to work there through America's Got Talent once the season's over.
Right.
It's just a hunch. But there, it's a whole different ballgame there. I've heard, like, part of their deal is they just yell heckles out for the first 7 minutes. And once you get through that, then you get to do your act. And they're champion hecklers.
Right.
Do you know a guy named Eddie Brill?
No. I've heard the name,
great,
but I...
He's a great comic, and someone threw the best heckle at him I've ever heard in England. Some guy yells out, "I fuck your mother, then she makes me sandwiches." How do you come back from that?
I don't know if you've ever heard the Bill Burr thing that he did. I think it was in Cherry Hill. And, I mean, the guy just went on for, I want to say 15 minutes, heckling the crowd back because it was a long show. They had tons and tons of comedians, and he just destroyed the crowd for his entire set.
Yep, it was in Philly. They ripped up Dom Irrera, who's one of their own. Then they started in on him, and he said, "Fuck you, I got to do 20 minutes to get paid. I'm doing 20 minutes." And he would just do jokes and bomb, and he'd look at his watch and go, 17 minutes. And he won him over. It's brilliant. It's one of the best moments in stand-up comedy you can see.
Yeah, it's great. He hit every angle of Philly, every one of their sports teams, their bridges, their politicians, everything that he could hit. It was great.
I love watching that.
Have you ever had to, like, strike back or tried to strike back at the crowd when they, you know, heckled you in the past or no?
Oh, God, are you kidding? All right, the answer is yes. And let me just say, hecklers are self-hating, tiny-dicked retards that hate that you're up there getting laughs and their girlfriend or wife or whatever is laughing for you. They hate it, and so they just have to be mean and do something stupid. And once you know that, I mean, you know what motivates them. Once you know what motivates someone, you know their entire psychology, and then you just rip them to pieces. Oh, yeah. I mean, I hate hecklers. I'd rather just do my act for a cool crowd that just wants to have a drink and laugh. But sometimes these tool bags, man, they just got to yell something. And there's a difference between being like a drunk heckler and a mean heckler. There's a big difference. Like the mean heckler is a guy that, you know, sexually underdeveloped, probably lives in his parents' basement, and you're making his date laugh, so he's got to be an ass clown. You know what? I wait until the whole crowd is against him, and then I pull his fucking head off, and they go crazy. They just go crazy. And then they end up, then they buy your T-shirt afterwards. Like, dude, that was fucking great. That guy was an asshole. You know, we're all on your side, and that guy was a cunt. So we're glad you pulled him apart. Yeah. Give me a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's cool.
I only use the word cunt against men, by the way.
Right. Now, doing the AGT thing, you know, you were doing comedy for so long, you know, what was it like to actually have to audition and... I mean, did you do that through Detroit, or where did you – I forget where you actually did the audition thing.
All right. I auditioned in New York City. That's where I live now.
Okay.
And for some reason, though, my audition aired on the San Antonio episode, which I thought was kind of bizarre. But you know what? It is what it is. It was great. It was at the Hammerstein Ballroom in front of, like, I don't know, almost 3,000 people. Howard Stern, Howie Mandel. – I mean, I'm like a huge Stern fan for years.
Sure.
Like, I've been listening to him since you could only hear him in New York and Philly before he went nationwide. I've been a Stern fan forever. And I'm not going to lie, like, Howie Mandel, people don't remember that he was a comic. And when he came out, he was a fucking weird beard. And a lot of, like, the first time I saw him, he did a special, and he was so weird and insane. I thought they set up this whole shoot for some other comic who had a car crash and couldn't make it, and they went, ah, fuck, now what? Oh, I know, get that Mendel kid from production. We'll just let him go on, because he was just insane. And I was laughing, going, whoa, someone's getting fired over this crazy cat. But I was like, no,
yeah,
he's supposed to be here.
Blown up.
Yeah, he put the rubber glove on his head, and just the silly shouts and dirty jokes. And I was like, wow, this guy is great. So,
yeah.
And I'll tell you, man, to have Howie Mandel and Howard Stern on my side, like, I mean, it blows. I got voted off while, you know, little kids went onward, but that's how that show is. Like, I knew that going in. I mean, I want to win. Who doesn't want $1 million? But I know the deal. It's going to be kids and dogs by the time it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty upset about it. I definitely thought you should have went through. I was really surprised on Heidi's criticism on that, after your thing, pretty much saying that the jokes were too adult and this is, you know, a PG show. You know, in the very same show where you had the, I forget what the name of the brothers are, but they do the, you know, the acrobatic act, they do all that stuff, and they simulate fucking each other in the ass on the stage, and it's like, you know, I don't think your jokes were that unbelievably dirty that she should be appalled, but I don't know.
You know what? I mean, I'll tell you right now, the Christoph brothers are the coolest guys you're ever going to meet. Christoph brothers, they're the coolest guys ever. And after the day after we did that show, the Christoph brothers and the American Hitman and I just sat in a circle reading all these negative reviews, just people shitting on us. I mean,
yeah.
Even Iraq war vets are shitting on them. I'm like, really? Come on, man.
Yeah.
People are assholes, but they're the nicest dudes in the world. They're really cool. They're from Vegas. I'm going to hang out with them next time I'm there. And you're right, though. Like, Stefan pretends to bang Chris in the ass. And, he, you know, he makes a... And that's fine, but, you know, apparently my... The sex show was pretty innocuous. My girlfriend rewards my sexual performance with food. Last night we had minute rice and a glass of Nestle Quick. All right?
I mean,
that's pretty innocuous. Oh, you did? This is an adult show. I did the one joke. I bought this new cologne, one whiff. Women can't say no. It's called chloroform. I mean, people, and then I got like these Twitter messages like, you're a rapist. You're a fucking rapist, dude.
Like, comedian.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the joke is making fun of me for being such a loser that's how I get women.
Right.
But I don't know. People are crybabies. I don't care. The truth is, for every nasty Twitter message or email I get, I probably got like 120 saying, "Hey man, I dig what you do, and I dig you're trying to be different." And yeah, it was the most fun I've ever had in my life. And I'm the only guy I know in 24 years of comedy that can say I performed at Radio City. Total fucking, it was great. It's just a grand slam, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. Now, do you think the Heidi's comments affected people's voting? Or do you think, as you said, you know, it was just like the kids and dogs thing? Because, I mean, you know, last year, Tom Cotter went pretty far in the competition. He was a comedian. I mean, what do you think it was that actually steered people in that direction?
Here's what I think happens with this. I mean, the truth is, I know a million Howard Stern fans. I've never met a Heidi Klum fan. I've never had anyone say, I love Heidi Klum.
Right.
Howard Stern could not have said nicer things about me.
Right.
And you guys couldn't see this, but like when I was done and I talked to the judges and Nick, and he's like, hey, call this number. And I flashed the wrong number. I thought it was number 8, but they moved me at the last minute. So I'm flashing number 8 when I'm really number 7. Probably cost me a couple votes. But when the cameras went down, Howard Stern stood up clapping and pointed at me. And I stopped, and I pointed at him with one arm and saluted a thank you with the other because it meant so much to me. Howard Stern and Howie Mandel were on my side. Like, no one cares about Heidi Klum. I mean, no one.
Right.
Especially, like, here's the problem. The problem is most of the people voting are, like, 13, 14, 15 years old, and they might care what Heidi Klum has to say.
Right,
but your typical adult doesn't give a fuck what Heidi Klum has to say. I mean, you've got two professional comedians going, you know what? I love what you do. I think you're funny. I don't know. I just think the little girl, Anna Christine, she's great. Even though she's screwed up, she's going to go through. And the magician who looks like Justin Bieber, like he does a magic trick and cries, every 14-year-old girl is voting for him.
Sure, yeah.
And the American hitmen, they're Iraq war vets. I'd vote for them before I'd vote for me. And the Christeff brothers, I thought they were hysterical. You make a great point, though. You know, one banging the other in the can, and that's okay, but I'm dirty? I know.
I mean, it's just one of those dumb things. And, it is what it is. And it's TV, and you can't take it seriously. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. But it's a crapshoot, and I was just there to throw the dice and see if I could win some money. And I didn't win any money, but I'm signing boobs, and I'm booking some pretty good gigs.
Nice. Now, do they have the wild card thing where the judges can bring back somebody still?
I'll be honest. I never watched the show.
Right.
And everyone's telling me there is. And then someone said, I don't think they're doing one this year. They've got a different format. So I don't know if there is or if there isn't. But if there is, I think I got a really good shot at coming back for that from, Mr. Stern there.
Sure.
And who knows? Maybe not. Like, it's TV. I don't know. Maybe I won't. Maybe Mr. Howard Stern says, I went down, but the producers go, well, we need you to call back the hitmen. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Right.
But if Howard Stern has a say, I think I got a good shot at it.
Yeah, I would definitely hope so. So, how has your bookings been going since then? Is it, picked up because of the show quite a bit? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I mean, I'm selling tickets like I've never sold before. I wasn't kidding. Like, I actually signed boobs. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
It's been
so
crazy.
I mean, what is long term? What is your goal? I mean, you did want to go to England and a cruise ship. I guess. So I guess you could hit both of those in the same show.
No, I don't want to do cruise
ship to England. Oh, you don't?
Never.
Want to, you just haven't.
They pay well, but they're just hard to do. It's older people, and you got to be squeaky clean. And the truth is, like, if you say, all right, Donnie, do your show and don't say fuck, okay, I can do that. But the truth is, like, 4 minutes into my act, I'm going to be killing hookers anyway. So it's just not, I'm not going to say fuck, but I'm going to be killing hookers in my act. And it's just not my thing. England, I would love to work. Every English comic I've ever met is like, dude, you would kill there. Go. It's like, all right, well, someday. But the game plan is to just keep doing what I'm doing, making a living doing what I love to do.
Now, do you have any goals
What's that?
Do you have any goals to try to, like, get into acting or, that type of thing?
I'll tell you. Are you familiar with Steve Martin?
Sure.
All right. Watch some of Steve Martin's earlier comedy clips. He was a genius. He still is a genius, but his act was genius, and he makes me want to throw out every joke I've ever written. And it's like he's so far left field. And he couldn't go any farther, so his manager said, you need to make movies. And he'd never even thought about it. He's like, all right, so now I'll make movies. I don't know what the next step is. I'm going to keep doing comedy because I love doing it. I love writing jokes. And, if someone says, look, we got a sitcom and you're the weird neighbor. Yeah, why not? I'll take a year off to shoot a sitcom. That'd be great. Hey, I've got some new jokes. Can I run them past you?
Sure.
All right, let me know if you think this is funny. I haven't done them yet. You're going to be the first one to hear them, really. All right, here we go. I wanted to start a website for men that run out on their kids, but GoDaddy.com was already taken. What do you think?
That's good. Yeah.
That's not bad, right?
How's
this? I went to get my grandma's ashes, but the fireman said, wait till the blaze is out.
That's good stuff, too.
Anything? All right. I'll work on them.
That's good stuff. What was, besides the AGT thing, obviously, Radio City Music Hall, but what was your favorite club or venue that you had actually played prior to that?
Here's the thing. Most of my income comes from, like, bar gigs, you know, Elks Lodges and all that shit. But occasionally I get good gigs. And I'll tell you right now, my three favorite gigs in the world, anything in Vegas, especially there at the Tropicana. I worked there for years at the Comedy Stop, and now it's a Laugh Factory. That's my favorite place in the world. Governor's Comedy Club on Long Island in Levittown, and Broadway Comedy Club in New York City are my three favorite places to work. And my favorite state, above all, anything is Wisconsin, because they drink a lot, and they get it, and they're nice. And, like, Wisconsin's weird. You can get drunk and do something and, you know, punch someone's mother. And you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, my God, I punched my friend's mother. And he's like, dude, it's okay. You were just drunk. Like, they drink a lot there. And yeah. they're just the nicest people on the planet, I think. So those are the three clubs, and that's my favorite state.
Wow. Oh, speaking of drinking, you know, a lot of times in the comedy scene, from what I see, you know, and hear from other comedians that are out there, a lot of times, you know, whether it be like an open mic or you're just trying to get, you know, your time on the set, you'll pretty much hang out in clubs a lot of times and, you know, wait for a spot. In the meantime, you do some drinking. How do you balance that out so you're pretty much not hammered by the time, you know, you possibly get a call up?
All right. Let me just say, I am the best person on the planet to answer this question. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
There is what I call comedy alcohol calculus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like to have a couple of drinks before I go on, but you got to factor in how much you ate, when you ate it, when you're going on stage. Here's the deal. It's noon. I know the show starts at 8. I'm going to go on at 8:45. I'm going to eat at 7. I'm going to have probably a fairly heavy meal at 7. I'll be done eating by 7:20. By 8:05, I'm going to have a bourbon with one ice cube. That's what I drink mostly. Sometimes scotch, usually a bourbon with one ice cube at 8:05. Then I'm going to have another one at 8:30. Now, I've eaten enough and enough time has gone by. I can have two drinks and bring a beer on stage and be loose and comfortable but not be drunk and stupid. Now, if I ate at 5 o'clock and I haven't eaten after that, I can't have two bourbons before going on because I'll be hammered.
All right.
I've developed this internal calculator that says, here's when you have eaten, here's what you've eaten, here's what time the show starts, here's what time you go on, boom, here's when you can drink, here's what you can drink. You know what? You can have one beer because you haven't eaten all day.
Hmm.
I'm really, really good at figuring that out, yeah. That's one of my few talents in life.
Well, I mean, it could definitely ruin opportunities if not, so it's good you got it all lined up.
Oh, yeah, you want to be comfortable. Are you familiar with Jackie Gleason?
Yeah.
All right. I learned early on that I'd like to have a couple drinks before I go on. And I was always kind of ashamed of that. Like, why not go on without it? What are you, a pussy? Come on. And then I was reading about Jackie Gleason. The first time he went on stage in vaudeville, he bombed. Just bombed magnificently. Like, they fucking hated him. And the theater owner said, hey, kid, let's go to my office. He's going to fire him. He goes, sit down, have a drink. And he gave him a whiskey. He goes, look, that was horrible, blah, 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 have another whiskey. Basically, Jackie Gleason had four whiskeys. And the guy goes, I'll give you one more shot. If you bomb, you're done. But now he's had four whiskeys. He's flying. And he kills.
Yeah.
He goes out. He's singing. He's dancing. He doesn't sing or dance. They love him. And the guy goes, well, come back tomorrow. So he drinks before he goes on for the rest of his life. And if you watch The Honeymooners, his TV show, when he's drinking coffee, he's not drinking coffee, he's drinking whiskey. He knew he had to have a little bit of a buzz, and he was unstoppable. Dean Martin, same way, little bit of a buzz. For Jackie Gleason, absolutely positively. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Someone comes and sees me somewhere, you come and see my show, when I walk on stage, I've had at least a cocktail. Almost,
right.
Not always, but most of the time.
Artie Lang always,
operated pretty well with a pretty heavy buzz.
You know, I never see that's the thing. That's what Artie Lang can do. I can't do it with a heavy buzz. I've done it, and I like
mm-hmm.
it. I'm not as fast on my feet. I forget jokes. I repeat jokes. I go, oh, this guy's fucking hammered.
Yeah.
I like a two beer buzz, a two drink buzz, and I'm just, you know, I'll tell you, man, on two drinks, I'll do the best show you've ever seen. I'll shoot the, you know, the best game of pool. I'll beat up the four bikers. I'll fuck the two hot chicks in the corner. But three drinks, I'm useless.
Yeah.
I'm utterly useless.
Yeah. So, you know, doing comedy all these years, and, you know, I'd imagine, you know, the things that you're doing now, you know, the clubs or whatever, you're headlining, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you have any, like, drawbacks or anything like that? Have you tried to, like, maybe get on to, you know, maybe bigger name comedians tours or any of that and do, like, an opener stuff to get on, like, you know, bigger stages?
Here's the answer. And I know we don't know each other, but let me just open this with, I'm like a regular guy. I'm not an ego fucking whore, nothing like that.
Right.
But I'm pretty good at comedy. So if you're headlining, you want someone in front of you who's going to make the crowd hungry for you. You don't want someone who's going to rip the place apart and then go, please welcome your headliner. So
right.
I've been doing it 24 years. Like, there's no one that's going to bring me at this point and go, yeah, I'll bring Dowdy. It's
right.
just not going to happen. Like, I'm not to be an asshole, but I'm pretty strong.
No, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, and I know I have friends that have opened for huge names. I was always like, damn, I wish I could get that. But the truth is, you want someone clean, someone who's clever, someone who's going to make them hungry. That's what you want. You don't want someone who's just going to, you know, nuke the place and go, oh, hey, that was pretty cool. Here's your headliner. Let's see if you can follow that.
Right. No, that's understandable. Yeah, I just really didn't know the way, you know, I've never done comedy or anything, so I really never understood the way that it...
I was just going to ask you.
No. Yeah, no, I've never done comedy. So, but, you know, I saw Louis, and he had Todd Barry opening for him, and, you know, I saw Burr, and he had Joe DeRosa, and, you know, I thought they were pretty good comics, you know, to open and everything. So I just, like I said, I really never knew how it worked. So
let me throw this at you. Like, mad bomb shouts to Bill Burr for having Joe DeRosa open, because that cat is strong. Like, I'm the biggest Joe DeRosa fan you're going to meet today.
Yeah. Oh,
Joe
yeah,
DeRosa. Yeah, Joe DeRosa, Mike Vecchione, Marianne Sierk. These are, like, killer acts, man. And if it's actually like my hat's off to Burr for bringing DeRosa, because that guy is like, he's a he's a headliner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Todd Barry's funny, but he's low energy.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't mean he's not funny. He's lower energy. That's easier to follow. Like, if I had to follow any of those cats, like, and I don't want to because Todd Barry, you know, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to follow any of them. Like, I have openers I bring, but damn, Joe DeRosa, I would never pick him. He's great.
Yeah, he definitely killed. You know, I had to tell people around me, you know, who's opening? I said, Joe DeRosa. I said, believe me, he's really good. He's really good. And, I mean, the crowd was dying. They're, you know, like, oh my God, who's this guy? You know, they came to see Bill Burr. They didn't even know there was an opener. And I already knew. I said, listen, you know, this is going to be great. And yeah, it definitely
Where'd
was.
Where'd you see him?
Red Bank in the Count Basie.
All right, cool. Yeah, DeRosa's no joke, man. He is a serious fucking comic.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So you got a CD coming out. When's the CD coming out? What's it called?
Okay, here's the deal. You got your computer up in front of you?
Yeah.
All right, can you go to twitter.com/KevinDowneyJr?
So you're telling me you don't know?
It's up to two names, and I want your input. Let me know when you're there. Because my choice And I've got financial backers, so I don't have all the say.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you see the picture of me making my first communion? It's the big one. It's the big background picture.
Yeah,
what's it say?
There's
me making my communion. They airbrush my face. There's a Jesus up in the upper left-hand corner looking down on me.
Yeah, I just ate a piece of Jesus, and I feel great.
Yes, that's what I want. I want it to be called, I just ate a piece of Jesus, and I feel great. And the engineer and the guy, my friend Pat Ryan, who's behind it, he wants to call it either duct tape lip balm, or make the album cover black and just say, Her View from Inside My Trunk. So what do you think?
I mean, they're all good titles. I definitely like I Just Ate a Piece of Jesus and I Feel Great. And
that's my favorite.
Her View from Inside My Trunk is not too shabby itself. But
I know. It's like I need three CDs now.
Yeah, well, fine. Just keep pumping out the material, I guess.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Next several album titles.
Yeah, I've got the album titles now. I just need more jokes. Oh, here's a new joke. What do you think about this? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I used to enjoy wrestling. Now I get in the police car quietly. Anything?
Yeah, that's good.
It's not bad. I'm working on them. I just figured I'd fucking throw them out at you. They're on Twitter.
Sure.
You throw them out at you. See what happens.
Sure. Well, you got any upcoming gigs you want to plug? And
oh yeah, I do actually. Where are most of your listeners? Do you think?
All over the place. I mean, it really depends. I'd say mostly Northeast because this is where I'm from. But
where are you from?
I mean, I get people. Jersey,
right,
Seaside
cool.
area.
All right, here's the deal. Seaside, you're close to Atlantic City, right?
Yeah, not too far off.
Okay. All right. This upcoming Saturday, I'm in Cherry Hill at a gig called Sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
September 30th to October 6th, I'm in Atlantic City at the Comedy Stop at the Tropicana. Those are probably the closest to you, I think.
Yeah.
I'm in Detroit, right. August 25th, hometown, represent yo.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, what kind of areas do you hit besides that? Do you hit Cali and all these other areas too, or?
Here's what I got coming
much...
up. I'm in Albany. Oh, Albany, August 14th through 17th. But more importantly, Queensbury, New York, just north of Albany, August 18th. That's a good gig. Empire State Casino, August 28th. Governors in Levittown, September 6th and 7th. Somewhere in Arizona, I forget where. I can't read my writing. On September 14th. Chester, New York, Jester's Comedy Club, September 28th. And there's that Atlantic City, September 30th, October 6th. Ann Arbor, Michigan for Halloween weekend. Bridge Street Live in Connecticut, November 30th, right after Thanksgiving. Rochester, New York, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Webster, New York, called the Comedy Club, right next to Rochester. That's good
enough.
Nice. I don't want to be a whore.
Yeah, no problem, man. I mean, thanks for coming on. Before I let you go, can you do like a quick commercial for the show and, you know, put your own spin on it?
Yeah, what do you want me to say?
Just, you know, your name, is Yakuza Kick Radio.
What am I
your
saying? What was that last part?
Yakuza Kick Radio is the name of the show.
Yakuza Kick?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Yep.
All right, so this is going to be like later on they'll play it?
Yeah, I'll play it, you know, I'll chop it and play it whenever, you know.
Okay, tell me how this works. Ready? This is comedian Kevin Downey Jr. from America's Got Talent. You are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Nice.
Does that work?
Awesome, man. Yeah.
All right. I'm here for you.
That's awesome, man. But thanks for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. Definitely like to have you back on in the future. Anytime you got something to plug or, you know, your CD comes out, I'll definitely promote it for you. You know?
Well, thank you, my friend. I will FB you, that's Facebook, when it comes out, and we'll go from there. How's that?
Awesome. Yep.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me on, man. The pleasure and privilege is mine. I'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good night, man.
Oh, thanks, baby. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. So there you go. That's Kevin Downey Jr. Like I said, I think he's a tremendous comic. I'm glad to have him on. Like I said, the dude was on NBC a couple weeks ago, and I've never had anybody that was on a national television. A couple wrestlers that later on made it there type situation, but I mean, I'm a fan of the dude stuff. So, definitely, good dude. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to play, one of these, they got the, CM Punk's, what the hell, Grammar Slam, he's calling them. I think these are pretty funny, so I'm going to play one of these. I'll come back. I'll tell you about the Warrior Dash and all this type of stuff and some wrestling and everything else. All right, check it out.
Hey, everybody. This is WWE superstar CM Punk, and welcome to Grammar Slam, where I interact with you, the fan, and I correct your awful, awful grammar. And on Grammar Slam today, we are learning the difference between your and your. And now we're going to read a tweet. At CM Punk, if you don't follow me, you're a little bitch. Let's glaze over the fact that there's no comma. Let's glaze over the fact that there's zero punctuation. That could be an exclamation. It probably could be a question mark. There's no period. There's no nothing. Let's talk about the fact that if you're going to go ahead and insult a man via Twitter, on the internet, face-to-face, whatever it is, regardless, you're going to call a man a bitch. You're going to insult somebody's manhood. What I need you to do is not sound like an ignorant bitch yourself. You're a bitch. You are a bitch. You're a bitch. Learn some correct grammar, for Christ's sake. Dear CM Punk, congratulations on your win at Raw. Thank you. Now it's time to get your ass handed to you by Undertaker. Ha ha ha. If you think you're going to beat him, you're an idiot. Good luck. You're going to need it. Signed, Dennis J. I can't take Dennis J seriously. His punctuation's okay, but his use of your and your is absolutely horrible. Not to mention the fact that he wishes me luck. He wishes me luck. He says, I'm going to need it. And he uses the wrong use of the word your. Good luck learning grammar. Good luck graduating the third grade, Dennis J. I wish you luck in actually being able to write a letter that makes sense. Write a letter where the grammar is proper, where you know the difference between your and your. The contraction your is in you are. You are not capable of writing a letter that is legible. Your. I'm thirsty.
Do you want this water?
Yeah, what do you think of Dennis J?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks good to you?
It looks fine.
Yeah. Congratulations on your win at Raw. That's good.
Yeah, that was a
good. That's absolutely right, right?
Yeah.
Now it's time to get your ass handed to you by Undertaker. That's fine, right? That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think you're going to beat him, you're an idiot. Those are acceptable uses of the word your?
It looks good. Jeez.
Grammar Slam!
Yeah, so there you go. I think those things are pretty funny. I got another one clipped. I'll play later if I have time or I run long enough. But before I get into the Warrior Dash thing, I wanted to talk just for a minute about this new thing that it's this fucking guy. I don't understand these people that run actual sports organizations. Roger Goodell, Jesus Christ. This guy just passed a rule, unsportsmanlike conduct rule, prohibiting sack dances, the home run swing, Incredible Hulk spiking the ball, spinning the ball, throwing or shoving the ball, pointing the ball, verbal taunting, military salute, standing over the opponent, and dancing. Every one of those things will get you a 15-yard penalty this year. What kind of shit is that? You fucking serious? I mean, that shit, a 15-yard penalty for any one of those things. You can't spike the ball. You can't point at a dude. You can't say nothing. You can't. I mean, seriously, I don't understand. Now, I get it. If you want to completely outlaw something where, you know, fucking Ocho Cinco pulls a fucking Sharpie out of his sock and signs a fucking ball and hands it to somebody, or, you know, he's got fucking popcorn and he's, you know, or like props and like really like overblown shit where like this dude planned it before the game. But actual, like, you know, intense reactions to what's going on in the field. You know, on the field, they're beat for that. And it's crazy because the year after Ray Lewis goes and wins another Super Bowl and he's dancing every fucking game of his career and shit, he goes home and they're like, all right, no more dancing. Hey, that's some shit. I mean, so every time my dude goes to kiss his arm and shit, they're going to go 15 yards. Hey, that's some shit. Oh, man. This is going to be some bullshit this year because people just do that shit out of excitement. It's like a natural reaction to just, you know, throw down some kind of shit like that. You know what I mean? Like I said, the elaborate stuff, you can pull the reins on, especially like if you're trying to, you know, plan out something or you're trying to do something or other. It's just, you know, just your natural reaction to spike the ball or to, you know, the point or to just talk a little bit of trash. I mean, that's just normal shit, man. That's football. This is some bitch shit. So anyway, Warrior Dash, you know, I've been saying a lot, doing a lot, leading up to it. And, I think I did pretty fucking well. My official time for it was 47 minutes, 12 seconds, 15 milliseconds. What it came down to is I think the normal waves were supposed to be every half hour or 45 minutes. And because I guess the day earlier in the day had started off with a lot of congestion on the races, on the course, obstacles and people waiting in lines and bullshit, they broke it down to every 15-minute waves. So you'd line up and they'd let this one big group on the one side of the guardrail, probably about 100-something people, and then 15 minutes later, the next group would go. So they were doing them every 15 minutes. So the wave that I did, which was 12:15, that I came in second on that 15-minute wave. You know what I mean? Like, second, straight up. Like, I started off, and when you start off, you know, they tell you go. They got, like, these helmets on top of the archway thing, and then, you know, they shoot fire out of them. They got, like, propane tanks hooked up, and it shoots fire out of the things to let you know go. And you go, and you run. You get down, like, this pretty steep hill, like, right off the start, and then you make, like, pretty hard left, and then you climb up this kind of like muddy hill that's like pretty rough, and you know there's a couple rocks like amongst the hill, so you can kind of get some traction to there. But you know what I mean, coming out of the gates, I'm hyped. So that was the, you know, first joint, boom, hit the, you know, come down the hill, trying to bust your ass, which I didn't. And actually when I started the race, it was raining pretty hard, so bust the left, go up the hill, and really start to pick up some pace. And you know, those type of things, like climbing the hills, doing the obstacles, I could murder those joints. Like, I mean, these tough mudder ones coming up, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But those are really built to challenge you, you know. But your general obstacle course obstacles, you know, they are what they are. But I'm pretty good at them. You know what I mean? Not to be, you know, arrogant or anything like that, but I'm pretty fucking good at those. The running is a little harder on me because, dude, I just started running this year. Like, I've never been a runner. As I said in the past, I used to make fun of runners and shit. But so hitting that hill and getting up that tall hill, by the time you got to the hill, the top of the hill, you kind of realized, you know, within the first maybe quarter mile after that, wow, I'm in the front pack. And the front pack pretty much consisted of like 5-6 people. When I realized, you know, I would see someone pass me, I'd go, all right, that's one person past me. And then you'd see another person that was a little above you, you know, and they really weren't pulling out far. Like if they passed me, I could still see them. No one just like pulled out a distance with me. So I was like just trying to keep pace with the guys that were used to doing this and able to do this because, again, it's my first time. So the most people I ever had in front of me was 5. And then I'd, you know, run and run, and these people were better runners than me. So, you know, they would get a little bit of distance. I would hit an obstacle. Boom, they ain't in front of me no more. I had another obstacle a little bit later. Now that another guy's not in front of me anymore. And it came down to me and 2 other dudes. The one dude had a Tough Mudder headband on, so obviously this dude's used to, you know, 10-12 mile obstacle courses. He's done some serious shit. That's the only way you get those orange headbands. Is that's kind of like their medal for finishing Tough Mudders, those orange headbands, and I'll have that shit in October. So he was actually the only one in the end who finished ahead of me in my wave time. So I was just amazed by that. The one obstacle, you know, during the course was you climb under this barbed wire, you know, you got the mud on the ground, and you crawl under this barbed wire, and then, like, right after the barbed wire is, like, netting, and you got to climb, you know, crawl under the net. And I blazed through that. And as soon as you come out of that, there's like, it dips down maybe like 4 feet, 3-4 feet, something like that. And it's real muddy. So I just kind of leaped off of that, planted my left foot. And then when I went to push off and keep going, pop, just like a suction cup, my left shoe came out into the mud. And I had to fucking reach into the mud, pull my shit out of there, hop off to the side, and just try to pull this on. And my shoes were tight. It's not like I had them loose or anything. Like, I was ready for that type of thing to happen. So my shits were double knotted, laced tight. You know what I mean? So it was hard to get them back on because I wasn't going to unlace them and try to go through that. So I'm just like yanking this thing on my foot. So I finally get it back on, and I got like a little rock that apparently that was in the mud now in the tip of my shoe for the entire race. So, you know, I mean, I just continued through that. But, I mean, overall, it was awesome. You know, everything, like I said, I kept going. The hardest part to me is still the running. You know, I had some wheezing and had some lung difficulties and stuff, especially with the rain because the humidity is just retarded. So you're out there and it's mountains. Seems like every one of these motherfuckers end up in a mountain. Like, I've never been to Morristown, New Jersey. Sure enough, you get there, there's a parking lot, and the bus takes you over. And, you know, you figure it, maybe it's a block or something. You wind and weave through these mountains. It's got to be like 4 miles from the actual parking lot. And you're just winding and weaving through this neighborhood of mountains and up and down and around. And you finally get there and it's like, oh, shit. Like, it's pretty far. So, I had a lot of fun with it. I was always interested, too, because, you know, they have all those fire obstacles, which I got the picture. I just got that picture today. That I put on Facebook cost you $15, which is ridiculous. But, cause you know, you really can't, like, even if you have people you bring with you, which I did, brought, you know, my girl and my oldest daughter. And, you know, they're nowhere near like on the course. You're pretty much, you see people start and you see people finish. Cause that's like where the people are. But, you know, you run off into the distance. So, I mean, you don't get to see or, like, sit by an obstacle and take pictures of who you came with. So you're pretty much at the mercy of the people who work there to take pictures and then sell them to you later. And, you know, what's cool, though, I mean, they do it really well. You know, within a week's time, they have them up on their thing, and they have it so like your race, you just put in your race number and it'll come up with everything that your race number showed up at. You know what I mean? So like my bib number was like 37768. So you just type that in, and then like every time that that is in one of the pictures, they boom, it pulls right up. So I think it was like 9 pictures or something. The one that I actually really liked was the one I you know, I paid for, and it cost me fucking $15 just to download it digitally. But you know, I mean, you can have keychains and all sorts of crazy shit made over, you know, and they cost whatever it costs. But I know digitally, as long as I got it, I could print it out or do whatever the fuck I want with it. So, yeah, it works. But yeah, so like I was saying, the fire thing, and honestly, it looks really cool, you know, visibly. Like, it's a really cool effect. And, you know, I'm glad they add that to it because, you know, I really like fire too, as, you know. You know, people have definitely heard on the show, a lot of times I'll be out by the fire in my backyard and stuff. So, yeah, I do enjoy that element and everything. So, but, you know, visually it's cool, but I honestly, you know, it's cake. I mean, if you could jump, you know, a foot off the ground, or, you know, a foot and a half off the ground, you're straight. It's all right. I mean, a lot of people are seeing these pictures and they're, oh, fucking, wouldn't be me. Oh, fuck that shit. Oh, man, you're crazy. And it's really not, like, it's like a hop, you know, you just hop over that. But I always wondered, you know, visually, and, you know, how did they actually do it? Especially, you know, you go and it's raining, and you're like, well, I guess they're beat for this fire. They had those, the Dura logs, you know, like the, you know, fire starter logs. They had, like, 2 pallets of those just sitting next to where the fire was, you know, the 2 fire, the 2 rows of fire, and they would just, they had like 2 dudes over there manning it, and they would just like throw a couple logs on there and just stir it a little bit with a shovel, and that's it. They weren't burning wood, they weren't burning anything, they were just burning those door logs. And those door logs will kick up too. And that's the only, like, the only danger element is of that is if like someone were to slip, those fucking things are like napalm. Like, you ain't putting that shit out real easy. If you stomped on one of them or something, like, it just like spreads the fire. Like if you, you know, if you have one of those burning in your fire, you know, pit or something like that, and then you hit it with the poker and shit, it brings the fire up higher. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't put it out. And, you know, so I was pretty surprised that they were doing with that, but I mean, it's a good way to, you know, keep the fire going and all that stuff, especially, you know, raining and everything else. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But that's actually towards the very end of the race, too. So, like, you do everything you're doing, you're climbing all sorts of cargo nets. Swimming is a motherfucker with shoes on. That's another thing I'll tell you straight up. Like, you got to go into this like, lake thing. And for the most part, it's, like, up to, like, your chest. At least my chest, you know, I'm 6'1". So you figure like that, I guess, you know, 4.5-5 foot of water type thing. And then it got like a little bit deeper, so you kind of had to swim. And swimming with fucking sneakers on is not fucking easy. So I did that, and, you know, I did all right. But that's some shit I never done before in my life, so that, it's definitely one of the tougher obstacles. And then you climb up onto this, like, these big, like, floating raft things. You walk across, and then you have to jump down into the water, and there's, like, a cargo net in the water to climb back out onto the raft, jump down another cargo net in the water, jump on the raft again, and then back down, and then swim or, like, you know, wade through the water. It's, like I said, about chest height, out of the water, and now, you know, start running again. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, it was just a blast. It was so much fun to do. And now, you know, full throttle, I got to train a million times harder. I got to do shit that I've never done before. I got to, you know, continue to push myself further than I've ever pushed myself. Because this Tough Mudder thing, man, it's in October. There's tons of fucking water, swimming, all that shit. There's mud. There's shit to jump off of, like cliff type shit to jump off of. Not even cliff, but, you know, you drop probably 15, 20 feet.
maybe 10, 15 feet. I'm just only going off of pictures because I've never done it. You got to jump into an ice thing, like fucking motherfucking ice in October. You got to jump into. They got wires at the end that shock the shit out of you. When Sexy Eddie was on the show, he said that shit actually really shocks you pretty good. But, you know, overall, 10 to 12 miles. I mean, you got to carry some logs. You got to do – I mean, they definitely put you through it. Like, this joint is made to not fuck around. So I'm very, very much looking forward to it, but I want to put myself through some severe fucking training leading up to it. I'm trying to gather a team together. So if anyone listening to this wants to do Tough Mudder with me October 12th, let me know. I'm going to be signing up within the next 2 weeks. That doesn't mean you have to sign up right then, but the closer you get to the thing, the more it costs. You know, I think the end of August, it goes up to 145. It's 135 right now. So if you wait all the way till October or like right before October, it's like 185 and shit. So, yeah, I mean, you do want to not let it get fucking too late on you. But like I said, trying to get a team together. You know, they recommend you do this shit with, you know, several people to help you through and motivate you. You know, just keep pushing each other and get yourself through it. So I'm looking to, you know, gather some people. I don't care who they are, male, female, you know, average dude. Sorry, you know, wrestlers listening to this, they want to do this shit with me. Like I said, it's in Englishtown, New Jersey. It's all good. I mean, this is what it is. You know, it's a good challenge for you, for anybody. Mostly mental. I mean, as physical as this whole thing is, you know, I seen in the Warrior Dash, I seen a dude that was easily had to been like 300 pounds, and I seen him while I was standing online waiting for the start of my wave. This dude was rounding the shit, you know, hopped over the little fire things, and he was rounding that fucking last stretch, you know, looked like he wanted to fucking die, but that dude, you know, 300 pounds, not a sight of muscle on him, you know, dragged himself through that shit, and he was coming across that fucking finish line, man. So that's real, real clear example that anybody could do this shit. Anybody, you set your mind to this shit, you can do it. You know, like I said, physically, sure. You'll do it a lot easier. You'll do it a lot better. You'll do it a lot faster if you're in great physical condition, if you're in decent physical condition, something. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, you set your mind to it. I don't give a fuck if it takes you 4 hours. Shit, you can do it. Now, this Tough Mudder thing is supposed to take you like a long fucking time. Like, I think it's like average time or time to be expected type shit is like 3 hours plus. So that type of hours, like going at some shit for that amount of time. I mean, it's going to be fucking raw, man. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's no fucking joke. And I ain't taking it lightly. So, I'm going in, heading into this shit. So that's that. I think when I finish the show tonight, because I meant to do it earlier and I forgot, I got to go climb up in the attic and get my motherfucking 49er flag, my 8-foot 49er flag to put out front of my door, because our preseason starts tomorrow. That's when, you know, we play our first preseason game. Man, I'm gung-ho towards this whole shit. I got a fantasy league I'm joining, which I haven't done. I did, like, years and years ago, but I really haven't officially done any, like, fantasy league like that. And then I'm going to go into the picks pool just like I did last year. I'll give everybody my point spread picks every week. And, you know, shit, I mean, I'll give you the rundown on the whole fantasy thing too, because I'll be getting into that. So I'll be all hyped up on somebody's stats and shit. Definitely do that. Definitely going to have, you know, the boys from the Sports Den stop by, you know, talk some football junk with me. Probably my dude Lane, Insane Lane's definitely a football fan. So I'm sure he'll pop on and talk some football with me one of these weeks. You know, it opens up the avenues of people to come on and just talk some junk, because
you know, sometimes people aren't as current on the indie scene, or they're not as current on this or that that's going on, but everybody likes fucking football. Well, not everybody, but you know what I mean. It's there's a pretty widespread audience of people that like football. So, all right. I think what I'm going to do now is take another break, come back, and I got a bunch of different wrestling things I want to touch on, and I'm going to do that. So here's another, you know what? All right, I'm going to hit you with the Ice Cube joint. All right, check it.
There's no stopping what can't be stopped. No killing what can't be killed.
Something out there waiting for us.
You can run, but you can't hide from the west side. Night stalker, shit talker, run and tell them, Mr. LM, nigga with the gat, and I'm back after every day, pray that I slay. Rolling with a potation through South Central, Muggy Ridge, ho, shit, know that. She'll get the votes back, cause I'm not starving, but fuck that. Johnny Carson, ho, never had me on a late night show. Coming with the shit that'll hit steady, mama, cause the flavor's good. There goes the neighborhood, nigga with the third album. How come he don't fall up? Rolling with the sword up game, turn the page of the chapter. Caught up in a rapture, but you know I need her. She can get the pita, eat him up, yum, and your Ford motherfuck, Billboard and the editor. Here comes the predator.
Jump up out, but I'll be back.
Jump up out, but I'll be back.
Jump up out, but I'll be back.
Check your head for the new sound. Fuck Florence, Powell, and Brasino. Wind and Coon pretty soon will fuck them like they fuck cuz I won't give them. Rides ain't nothing but die for the system. Fighting with the beast, no justice, no peace. If any, even if we fuck up Denny. Niggas are sick of your white man trip with no treat. That's right, now it's on no sight. You call me a Muslim, no I'm not a resident. Still got my vote in America for president of white America. I'm tearing you a new asshole. Who's the nigga with the new black? Stroll into your suburb house and I duck with gas. Now who's cleaning up trash? Eat them up, yum, and your board motherfuck, Billboard and the editor. Here comes the predator.
Jump up out, but I'll be back.
Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
Jump up out.
Here comes the predator. Got my black rag showing and I'm hoeing out a rhino. Can kiss my grips like both on El Dina. I'm meaner than a motherfucking hyena chasing antelope. Put my groom to your dome, watch it bust like a cantaloupe. I can't stand a rope, so don't try to hang them. Talk about dogs, boy, I can sling them. Rat-a-tat-tat on your noggin, cause ice I cream your ass like Häagen-Dazs chocolate. I get crazy when I catch wet, even be flipping a tongue like diddy-giddy-dung-dice effect. So who is Ice Cube? I'm a rapper, actor, macker. Got a little problem with the redneck cracker. Get the tallywhacker. Jerry Heller is a devil shit packer. Coming with a crazy pitch, and the Statue of Liberty ain't nothing but a lazy bitch. Don't wanna give up the crack to the black, but you'll call it racial if we go and race the hoe. But eat 'em up, yum, and your board, motherfuck, Billboard and the editor. I am the predator.
Jump up out, but I'll be back.
Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
Jump up out. Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
Jump up out,
but I'll be back.
They indicated that when trapped, the creature activated a self-destruct device that destroyed enough rainforest to cover 300 city blocks.
There you go. Yeah, so a few things I wanted to hit. Let me see. What is it? What do I got? What do I got? I got a few things. TNA. All I got is this. I had randomly, I think like I finished watching something else, and then TNA came on last Thursday, and it was on the Aries AJ Styles match. And I sat there and watched it, and it was really good. I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was awesome. I haven't seen AJ Styles in a while. I knew he had, like, a gimmick change, look change type thing, and his hair is different. He's got facial hair and shit. I didn't know that he gained weight. Like, and I really, with the T-shirt, I can't tell that he's necessarily gotten fat, but you could tell his arms are definitely a lot bigger. And he's definitely got a lot more power to his arsenal. He didn't lose his flippy stuff. He's still doing a lot of, you know, his aerials and all of that stuff. But he seems like he's got a lot more power to his arsenal. His arms are definitely more jacked up than they were before. And he's wearing a T-shirt now, so I can't imagine his abs are ripped or anything. But in the same token, you know, it's a good different look. I mean, the guy's ran a course of everything in TNA. So I guess it's the least he could do is reinvent himself a little bit. To, you know, put some kind of different spin on things. I'm going to be using my my new favorite sound drop several times within the rest of this show, and this will definitely be the first time. Kurt Angle.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Fucking DUI again. Again, this motherfucker with a DUI. Four DUIs this guy's up to. Nobody can give this fucking guy a ride. This fucking guy can't just drink when the fuck he gets home. This is why, and I don't want anybody out there to be asking the question or, you know, go through your head with like, oh, I can't believe why he's not in the WWE. Or don't let his fucking bullshit interviews where he's like, TNA is where I want to be, and that's because it's the best. That's bullshit. He's not in WWE because he's a fuck-up. That's why. Because Kurt Angle is without question, or was without question, whatever you want to call it, one of the best wrestlers out, straight up, one of the best wrestlers in the business. You look at, I mean, tell me that the world wasn't in this guy's hands. You look at the genre, not even the genre, but the group of wrestlers that he was within. He was within the group of wrestlers, the main eventers, with The Rock, with Stone Cold, with Triple H, with The Undertaker, with Shawn Michaels, with Brock Lesnar, those type of guys. That's what he was doing. And the only one of those guys that has any type of youth or possible long-term is Brock Lesnar. And that dude still only wants to do it on a limited basis. So you figure this. Triple H goes into a pretty much management role, pops up a few times a year, this and that. He was gone. Now, if Kurt Angle kept his fucking head on straight, look at the scenario. Stone Cold retires. Rock goes off to do movies, maybe pops up, you know, a couple times in a decade or some shit like this, you know? So The Rock, Stone Cold, fucking Undertaker shows up once a year for WrestleMania like it's his birthday party and shit. Or Christmas when, you know, you don't hang out with the relatives any other time of year and then you do some old Christmas gathering. That's The Undertaker's Christmas. You know, you get those guys. You know, Brock Lesnar wants to only do a limited schedule, but either way you look at it, Michaels retires. Where would Kurt Angle be? If Kurt Angle kept his fucking head straight, I don't think John Cena would even be the John Cena of that company. I mean, he'd have his role. I'm not saying the dude wouldn't have a job, but I think Kurt Angle would be the face of that company if he kept his shit straight. I mean, he had the All-American thing going. He had all the fucking popularity in the world. He was able to do any fucking thing in the ring plus. You know what I mean? Like, he had a character that connected with people. He had – the world was in the palm of his hands. And all these other guys that were also on the main stage with him walked away. They all took their fucking exit. And that would have left fucking him standing. He would have had – fucking carte blanche to do whatever the fuck he wanted and really have like an unbeatable spot with that company. And he fucked it up to the point where Vince said, dude, you got to fix your shit, man. We're not dealing with it. And let him go. At which point,
he just decided to call TNA his quote unquote home and then pretend like, well, this is the place to be and this is why I'm here. And there's no, dude, because you fucked up. And he keeps blaming other fucking people. He got off on other times with DUIs because there was somebody seeing this shit happen, just seen him fucked up, seen this shit driving all over the place, and he was fucked up. And then his lawyer pulled some shit where it was like, well, the person who saw him could supposedly have a DUI. Well, she has a DUI on her record too, so you can't take her word for it. Yeah, I mean, like, just weaseled around this shit. And same thing, like, fucking, and there was another one, I think it was a whole different one, and he went on interviewing all, you know, the cops were out to get him and this and that. Like, he's taking no responsibility for his own actions on this shit, and now this is the fourth fucking DUI that this guy's had. He could be killing fucking people out there, he could have killed himself any of these times, but beyond himself, you know, you're risking everybody around you on the road with that shit. Yeah, I mean, like I said too, at his popularity, you can't get any fucking young wrestler, nobody in the fucking locker room. You can't have anybody drive your shit around. You can't. There's nobody that's gonna fucking drive Kurt Angle around to get in his good graces while he's all banged up in the passenger seat, drop him off at his fucking hotel. Or you know what I mean, or drive him to the fucking airport, or whatever the case is. This dude always has to just be driving around fucked up. Is that really what needs to happen? This shit don't make no fucking sense. Like I said, Kurt,
what the fuck?
Exactly. So yeah. Beyond that, you know, TNA is TNA. They had a whole big thing. I'm trying to see what people like posting all my shit while I'm doing something else. So other than that, TNA did a whole thing. They did big mystery. We have a big surprise. Oh, you're not gonna want to miss this. It's Tito Ortiz. Fuck out of here with that shit, man. They got Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson, who I think are having a fight in Bellator. I think that's what the name of it is, Skeletor, Bellator, whatever the fuck. Having some old bullshit. They're having a fight there. So as a kind of cross-promotion thing, TNA will involve these dudes in a fucking wrestling angle. And then it'll just help put over this other Bellator shit or whatever. And somehow wrestling fans are supposed to give a fuck. And, I mean, you're not going to get, I mean, I guess you can if someone was actually invested in doing that. But I don't think you're going to get another McKen Shamrock out of these guys. Because this is just like something to do on the side. This isn't exactly like what they're looking to do with their future. I mean, this is like in between shit. And you can't count Brock Lesnar because, he had wrestled and then he did, then he did the UFC, and then he went back to, wrestling. So it's not exactly like a UFC guy that converted into a wrestler. You really don't see too much of that. And if so, they really don't pan out because it's not what they want to do long term. It's just, some shit that they're kicking around in the meantime. But fucking Tito Ortiz and all this bullshit, I can't stomach TNA. I really can't. The only thing that I saw the AJ Styles and Austin Aries match, and I was like, man, I should be skimming this fucking show to at least catch those type of matches, because, shit, obviously I'm missing this. I haven't seen an AJ Styles match in fucking a long time, because I just, I just haven't checked it out. I mean, the company just fucking really, really annoys me. And, the Bubba Ray Dudley's a horrible fucking talent. He's a jerk off. There's nothing about his fucking work that I like. I don't know. I just don't think that there's anything redeeming about that guy. They spent all that time using him as world champion, having him go on fucking shows and bash people and talk shit. And
you know, they just gave it to Chris Sabin, which is good. I mean, he's a great wrestler, but I don't know. I just, TNA is just, there's too much of those fucking has-beens and guys with big contracts and low work rate at this point. You know, guys that were just big names. You know, it's a good-looking face on the card, but it's not going to steal any fucking shows. And that's, you know, and that's the head of your company, and that's the main event just about every show, and you have to keep seeing Sting and Hogan, and I just check out. Like I said, I miss out, too, but because there's a lot of, you know, lower card stuff that is good, but if you turn somebody off that much with your main focus, you know, then they are going to miss the rest of that shit. I guess that's what I get at there. All right. The, man, the WWE fucking Divas show. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to keep watching this shit, but this is not making me like these people anymore. Like the one Funkadactyl, I don't really have their name straight or nothing, but the one Funkadactyl is corny as hell. Like, he's just corny as hell. Like, I can't stand her as a person now. Like, now I don't like her at all. You know what I mean? The one's more talented in the ring anyway. So I mean that works out for me, but like she just like regularly says shit in sentences like that's thebomb.com. Like if you say shit like that in actual sentences and you're not like you're not trying to be ironic or like joking, like that's actually how you try to get your emotions across on liking something by saying that's thebomb.com. I really, really want you to not keep breathing. I want something to happen where you're not available to my eyes or ears anymore at all. Like, I don't want to see that you're here anymore. I mean, you can go off. I mean, you could breathe on like an island or, in England, like Kevin was talking earlier. Yeah, he'd like to go to England. I'd like them to go to England. I'd like, I mean, they can just go to anywhere without TV cameras would be fine. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know if there's actual states without TV cameras or countries, but I mean, generally there's probably somewhere in the building that they're in that has no cameras. I would just like them to go there. That would be just fine. I can't stand people that are corny as shit like that. Half of her fucking gimmick, you know, the way that she portrays herself, half of it is like that corny Nicki Minaj shit. Like she's got that fucking, that kind of like trip. That whole gimmick, like the whole shit that she's trying to like portray herself, the voices, and like she's just a cornball. So that's kind of like the vibe I got off of her. So I don't like her at all. Both the Bellas are cunts, which I already knew, and you know, one's a bigger cunt than the other one, but I think they're overall both cunts. The one's like in this mental struggle to stay with Daniel Bryan because she's not used to the house not being as nice, and you know, it's like, oh, I love him, but oh God, it's, you know, it's really hard with this little house. It's just like, yeah, just go fuck yourself, you know? And the other one's just like, you know, super fucking gold digging cunt. And John Cena's house is fucking ridiculous. This dude's got this fucking pool, and the motherfucking pool's inside has got like a fucking waterfall, and the motherfucker's cliff diving off the fucking waterfall in his goddamn house. I just, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, tell me, kick another one of those hood raps for me, Cena. Tell me more about the chain gang. Thugonomics. Tell me more about Thugonomics while you're cliff diving in your fucking pool room. Fuck out of here. That fucking house is off the chain, man. Good for him. But yeah, those fucking Bellas are fucking cunts. I have no love for those. You know, you got this whole other thing they got going with the Fandango broad, and she's like
hitting on him and wanting to be with him and to dance with him, but she can't fucking dance. And I think for the most part, that's all storyline bullshit. And I'd hope so especially as far as Fandango goes too, because otherwise he's just a fucking scuzzball. Like, this dude's just like, maybe you could dance with me. Hey, I'm going to go think about you in the shower. It's like, dude, if someone didn't write that shit and he actually comes off like that, the chicks he meets, fucking what a scuzz. I mean, that dude is a fucking douchebag. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I kind of think it's written. Definitely a lot of it's scripted because, you know, they immediately carry it over onto TV and then they're doing it. But the bottom line is, like, they don't give these divas any gimmicks. They don't allow anything creative to happen. So for them to try to spice up the divas division by just making them cunts and just having them bicker and fight and get catty on the fucking show and then just pour it over onto the wrestling, like, oh, they're fighting because she called her a duck last week on the reality show. And it's like, this is not gonna pan out. And, you know, supposedly it did really good ratings because, I mean, it's fucking E! Network and it's a bunch of bitches yelling at each other and, you know, gold-digging whores on the E! Show. Like, oh, I wonder if this is going to work. Of course it will, you know. And, you know, and I like Natalia and I like, like I said, the one Funkadactyl. I honestly can't remember their names. Probably mostly because it's not... I think Cameron is the one that wants to be Nicki Minaj that I can't stand. Naomi, I think, is the other one. She's the one that I like. I think she's cool. I think, like I said, I like Natalia. But so much of it is just like, oh, look what a piece of shit this woman is. Look what a piece of shit this woman is. All right, great. So on to the next show. And, you know, and then, like, you get the two unknowns, so they could pretty much paint them any way they want. They could release them if they want when they're done with this whole thing. You know, it's just, I don't know. When I started out, this is not making me like any of them any more than I did. It's definitely making me hate more of them than I already did. So, you know, it's just bad. But like I said, I'll continue to watch it because it is what it is. You know, dramatic. I watched the fucking Flavor of Love with fucking a bunch of other gold digging whores dancing around Flavor Flav wanting his attention. And I watched all that fucking Bret Michaels fucking Rock of Love with those gold digging whores. So wrestling gold digging whores on this show is no different. And, you know, they'll pour it over into some angle and, you know, maybe someone will get actual feelings hurt and they'll get stiff in the matches or who knows, who fucking knows, but I'll watch it. Anyway, speaking of, Mike Bennett pile drive BJ Whitmer's fucking head off, pretty much. I don't know. I mean, the fucking pile driver was brutal. I mean, you just see his fucking head crunch up and you look, I mean, even the picture, you gotta look and just,
what the fuck?
And, yeah, I mean, he was all banged up, man. All banged up. And I just, that shit looked like it was fucking extremely fucking painful. Extremely fucking painful. And, he was in the hospital. They pretty much stopped the match right there. They ended up... Yeah, you know, he went over to the hospital. I guess, you know, Mike Bennett felt really bad. He was getting shit kicked out of him online and everything. You know, people saying what a shit worker he is. And I mean, overall, like, I'm not a fan of the dude. I never thought that the dude was any good. You know, him being with Maria, I think, is half of his marketability because, you know, kind of like a package deal. And she was a chick that was on TV. So it benefits a lot for ROH to, like, keep the, you know, that pairing on or whatever else. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I guess he's got fans or he's got someone who fucking likes him because, you know, I mean, he continuously get booked. So it can't just be his girlfriend. So, you know, it is what it is. And I mean, BJ Whitmer gave the dude
tons of respect, you know, amongst trying to fucking move his fucking hands and shit. He was also saying, you know, like, leave dude alone. He's a fucking good dude, and it was an accident, and shit happens, and I trust him, and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I mean, like I said, it is what it is. He didn't, obviously, he didn't intentionally do it, so, you know, it's just, you hate to see guys get hurt like that. And yeah, like I said, the picture you see, oh man, that fucking, some fucking Owen Hart type shit. I mean, it was definitely on the caliber of that type of thing, or maybe not, obviously not quite as bad, but you definitely saw his head like well below the dude's fucking legs, and a pile driver on the apron. Do you know what the problem I have with that, though, is I saw a lot of buzz online and people, oh, they should ban the pile driver and they should ban that and that move and this and that. I get so tired of hearing that shit, man. Like, basically, the move was done wrong. I mean, you can see it that way. I'm no fucking wrestler, but you can tell by the way that that was going, it wasn't going right. You got to find a way to stop that shit before it happens. Accidents are going to happen on any fucking thing. But to go to the point where you start actually just never doing moves again and stuff, that's fucking nutty. I don't think that that's necessary at all. I mean, maybe, you know, the people who are really good at it, of not hurting people and shit, maybe they should do more of them. I really can't stand when they're like, that move should just be outlawed. We should never do that move again, because that's clearly the only way people get hurt in wrestling. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. There's people who do that move every fucking match. And then I seen someone else talking some shit. I think it was the message board I was reading the shit. Oh, moves on the apron, that's the problem. Moves on the apron are just so dangerous because the mat's harder there. And again, if you can't pull it off safely, don't fucking do it. But there's a million people out there who you've seen can do this shit flawlessly, safely, on a regular basis. So there's no reason to be banning any fucking thing. As they've said in the past, it's not ballet, it's wrestling. And, you know, injuries are going to happen. But in the same token, if you can't do it, don't do it. If you can't do it safely, don't do it. But that doesn't mean everybody in the world should stop doing it. Like when Billy Kidman started fucking destroying people with the shooting star press. When he, who the fuck did, he hit someone in the head with his knee and shit. And they were like, fucking Vince for a while was just like, fuck a shooting star press. And yeah, I think the 450 was banned for a minute and stuff. So people were just careless. But then you'd see people like Evan Bourne on the fucking indies, you know, he's Matt Sydal, doing that fucking float over star press that was just, couldn't have been more accurate. See Pac doing twisting fucking star presses that just land right on the money. He's twisting and fucking hitting all sorts of crazy aerial additives to that shit, and still so fucking precise. And you're just thinking, dude, the other guy who can't do a fucking star press without kneeing a guy in the head, that fucking guy should be banned from doing the move. You know, he should have to run fucking 15 trials where it's on point every time before they okay him, you know, green light him to go out there and do it in front of people again. Not just like, now everybody's fucked from that move. Like, that's just such an asshole way to go about, you know, a situation. You know, oh, fucking one guy got hurt on it. Oh, everybody should stop doing that. Remember Owen Hart? That one, too. You know, that happened, too. And then the pile, that's the pile driver, bad pile driver. Get the fuck out of here, man. I mean, it's just crazy shit. Like I said, accidents happen. But I get real tired of people that just, they want to ban every goddamn thing. But you can't spike a fucking football anymore. They'll get me back on that shit. So I listened to, I think I'm all set with that that Uncle Bill and Frank show or whatever the fuck they call it. I listened to the remainder of the old episodes that they had that had guests that I wanted to hear what they had to say. And you know, I'm sure they'll have some in the future and stuff that, you know, I'll check out because I'll want to hear what they say. But
I listened to the one they had with Derek Sabato. Now, the thing is funny to me is because I know I was doing the show when I had my run-in with him online, so I'm pretty sure I talked about it back then. But I think the guy's a complete bitch. I had a run-in with him online where I think it was somewhere around the time where stuff was started to heat up between me and Lauderdouche. And dude, like, jumped in, like, I remember referring to it as, like, it's like the Power Rangers and shit. Like, you talk shit to one ref, and then, like, here comes the fucking, the Yellow Ranger, and this motherfucker wants a part of it, too. And he had a lot of shit to say, and it pretty much ended with me, you know, telling him that I'll punch him in his fucking face, and you know, he thought he was real tough, and he just had a whole lot of fucking mouth on him, and, like, he just portrayed himself in a way where, like, he really thought he was some kind of badass and he was gonna put me in my place or some shit like this, and, like, shit didn't even have anything to do with him. So you could tell, like, he was just real fucking bitter, disgruntled about something. He was running around trying to start fights with people, so that's what he was doing. And, you know, come to find out, I mean, they did this show with him, and I think that was, like, last year or whatever, pretty sure. And, you know, when I was talking to him back and forth, and, you know, going back and forth, I had mentioned nothing about my show. I had nothing to do with anything like that. And, like, one of his things was like, no one cares about your fucking show. And I'm like, who said anything about my show? You know what I'm saying? So, like, he had some kind of, like, chip on his shoulder about something or about anybody getting acknowledgement except for him and what he was doing. I got that vibe then, and I was like, this dude's mad that, like, people are talking to me and not him and shit. And I don't, you know, I don't take it any type of way where I'm like, well, I'm talking to wrestlers and you're not. Like, I didn't give a fuck, man. You know, I'm doing this shit for my entertainment and, you know, for anyone else who wants to listen to entertainment. I'm not taking any, I don't have any medals, you know, that I made up because I talked to a wrestler. I, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, I enjoy doing it, but I don't take it as some point of confidence or, you know, anything to gloat or brag about, because, you know, it's a free form of entertainment that, you know, you get the bullshit with some people. It's really, you know, not as big a deal as making it out to be. So anyway, I guess they gave him the time of day, and he went on there. And the dude was just straight reckless. I mean, like, dude was like, I think barely even touched on Gage. They were asking him about ref bumps, and he, like, went right into Gage, and he's like, yeah, Gage, fucking Nick Gage, that's an unsafe motherfucker, and he got everything he deserved. You know, and saying, like, the dude should have been in jail a long time ago, he's a piece of shit, and he hopes he burns in hell, and, like, talking all sorts of shit. He said Brian Logan's a fucking pillhead. He was just throwing everybody under the bus. He bashed Zandig. He bashed DJ. Like, he was just bashing everybody. And something came up about Teddy Hart, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember we were down at the Peterson Cup that you know, that dude Justice and that Peterson Cup, and we were down there. We were staying in the hotel or whatever with Teddy and Jack Evans, and then I was wondering why the weed was fucking me up, and Teddy and them had laced it with angel dust, and they didn't tell me, so that's why we're all fucked up. And I'm like, wow, this dude is just throwing everybody under the bus. Like, you don't give a fuck. Like, and that's, like, to me, that's just signs of someone who should have never been involved but was involved, and now he's mad because he gets no credit. You know what I mean? Like, he's talking about times that he was booking because everyone dropped the ball, and, you know, well, Burns left, and Burns had a problem with Zandig, so then, like, the ball got thrown at him, and, like, he had to deal with it, and, you know, like, all this shit. Like, he was just super fucking bitter and just bitchy about everything. And to me, it just came off like shit. As far as I'm concerned, from what I could see from the outside perspective, from everything he was saying, everything he was doing, it's indie wrestling. Like, there's no big payoff. There's no big payday. There's no big, like, award ceremony. There's no podium. They're not going to carry you around, and, you know, and sing, you know, for He's a Jolly Good Fellow or whatever the fuck you're looking for. They use them for some, you know, website shit. They use them for some this. They had them booking shit, this and that.
They had him doing all sorts of different shit, running around doing whatever. Now, I mean, he takes it as like he was taken advantage of and this and that, but they were using him for what they wanted to use him for, and that was that. He takes it as like some kind of shit, like he was owed something or something. But the majority of guys like who wrestle don't get shit, or barely enough, or you know, really not what they deserve. So some fucking dude, and at the time, I think he was saying he was fucking 19, 20, 21 years old. Like, the dude was young as fuck, and they were giving him, like, booking decisions and shit like this. So, I mean, instead of being like, wow, man, I was really fucking blessed to be able to do something, you know, be booking some kind of shit, he's just like, yeah, I had no business doing that. They just put me in that spot, and just like, what was I going to do? And it's just like, I don't know. Like, he has this kind of, like, I don't know what he was looking for out of the whole situation. But I think when the dust settled and no one gave a fuck about him still, and no one still doesn't give a fuck about him, I think his feelings got hurt. Like, I feel like he got real butthurt over everything, and he just started just bashing everybody. He's bashing Zandig, and, you know, Zandig couldn't do shit booking-wise, and DJ can't do shit. And, you know, and a lot of the shit that he says about DJ is true or whatever, but it's not just DJ, and it's not just, oh, I disagreed with his booking, and it's this and that. It's just, he was just real, you know, like I said, he's just throwing people under the bus, talking drug shit about shit that, you know, that's the thing, like, I never really understood when you're in the business, or you're part of the business, or you're, you know, involved somehow, and then someone lets you into that type of circle. Where later on is it cool to just go out on some kind of show, or go out on a shoot, or go out on whatever it is, and then just start shouting people's fucking illegal business? You know, like, I never really got that, because the same way where, like, you know, I mean, I be hanging out with people, you know, blazing or doing whatever, but, like, I wouldn't get around some kind of authority and then just shouting out fucking names of the dudes that were in the cypher. That wouldn't even cross my mind. But it seems like a lot of dudes like that, like, that's like, they're all about that shit. It's like, one of the first things they think of is they start getting around people like, oh, and then what was that situation? Like, oh, well, one time this fucking guy did this and fucking that shit, you know. It's like, wow. I mean, stories are stories, and I get it, but what does he gain off of trying to throw Teddy under the bus, or try to throw this one under the bus or that one under the bus? Like, there's nothing to be gained from it, and he doesn't gain any, he doesn't look good coming out of that. You know? I don't know. It's just something about the way he does it. Because, you know, I've heard stories where people, you know, would mention other people, and they'd say, you know, different things that happened, and, oh, we were on the road here, and we did this, or we did that. And it just doesn't come off the same bitter way as this dude comes off. Something about the way he just comes off, which is fucking irks me. So that was that dude's little bullshit interview. Danny Havoc was on their show. Sort of a strange interview. Like I said, these dudes, something about the way that they conduct interviews, their laughs, I got to sound clip that shit. I got to sound clip their fucking laugh. Everybody's just got to listen to one of their shows, like, 1 week, just so they could hear what I'm talking about, because it's crazy. They're like, the one's like late 30s, and the other one's like 40 or in his 40s. And these motherfuckers laugh like schoolgirls over the fucking, like, the loudest shit coming through the speakers is when they bust out into this ridiculous laugh. And it's just like, I don't, man. Like, the one time, one of the silliest things about that interview is he goes like, yeah, Danny, so you were on that G4 show, you know, is that was your wife, which you or whatever, right? He's like, yeah. And he's like, so, are you still with your wife, or is that the same one you're with now? And he's like, I don't really want to talk about that, because it's not. And then the guy's response is, yeah, I just remember, like, your wife was really hot.
And it's just like, dude, you're fucking really in your late 30s or early 40s or whichever one of you motherfuckers it is. And you're interviewing a dude, and that's some shit that you felt you really, did you write that shit down when you came out with it? I just hear this shit, and I'm just like,
what the fuck?
Oh, man, I love that sound drop. But these motherfuckers, they're something else, man. They're just a comical bunch. And like I said, I would actually recommend listening to that shit just once, at least just once. You know, catch, you know, someone's interview you want to hear, pop it on, and, you know, just give it a listen. So
that's that. What else? Let me just, I guess, run down this CZW card real quick.
Why not? It is coming up this coming Saturday. Of course, I didn't have that window open on my computer, so now I'm typing. There we go. That's the site. Let me see. Yeah, just bear with me. Pulling up the card here. I know this is not new to anybody, but this computer is fucking up as usual. So, why is this not loading? I'm going to blame DJ for this. If Derek Sabato was running this website, this wouldn't happen. I don't know what the fuck. It could be my computer. Let me see. Well, the Tangled Web match, I believe, is Scotty and Drew Blood versus Lucky and Danny Havoc. So there's that. And I think that should be crazy. I mean, you know, Danny and Lucky are definitely going to fucking do murderous shit to themselves. Suicidal, should I say. I don't know. This fucking thing's not loading up. I think it's probably the computer. Because that's how it seems to be going these days. Anyway. Well, let me try this again. You know, let me see if I can get over here, take another quick break, and come back and run the car down. If I can, I can't, and then I'll just plug everything, and I'll call it a night, because it's pretty much done anyway. I just figured I'd throw out the card. Let me see. All right, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is WWE Superstar CM Punk welcoming you to another edition of Grammar Slam, where I, CM Punk, read your tweets and fan mail directed towards me and correct your awful, awful grammar. Today, we're doing one of my favorites, the difference between figuratively and literally. All right, today we're going to start off with a tweet. At CM Punk, you are literally a piece of shit. I am not literally a piece of shit. Figuratively, maybe I'm a piece of shit and I'm a bad human being, but literally I am not a piece of shit. As you see me standing here before you, I am a human being. Literally. I'll go on to now read this letter, and I'm going to try my best to be calm about it. Comes to you from Len A. CM Punk. How can you think you can stop John Cena? Nobody can. All caps. He's yelling at me now. How rude. He is literally on fire right now. Is he literally on fire? Is he because if he's literally on fire, Len, we need to go put him out. We need to go throw him in a pool. We need to go, I don't know, spit on him. Because if he's literally on fire, the man is going to perish. I got to go call John Cena right now and see if he's in intensive care, because if he was on fire, he would be. He's not on some sort of a streak. He's not on a hot streak. He's not just doing really good. He would be figuratively on fire. You see, because figuratively is used as a metaphor. Literally, It's just that. I don't even know how to explain it. It's the definition. It's literally. It's not just me. Is it just me? I'm sitting here ranting, raving, and this guy... You're figuratively driving me crazy. There's a chance you've literally driven me crazy. But I can't explain that to you because you don't know the difference between figuratively and literally. Literally.
Hey, calm down. I can cheer you up.
Sorry.
I will cheer you up.
I'm sorry. This just gets me so fired up.
I know. I literally just recycled every bottle in Southern California. This is the last one. I recycled everything. Literally, it's all of them. See, it's the last one.
What about that bottle over there?
Well, let's, I mean, you know.
I literally just smashed a bottle over his head!
Yeah, there you go. So, anyway... did get the CZW card up, so here we go. You also have Masada versus Drew Gulak for the World Heavyweight Championship. I gave my full and detailed thoughts about that. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, something along those lines. So go back and check out the archives if you do not know how I feel about that shit. AR Fox versus Andrew Everett. That's going to be a great high-flying match. Azrael and Bandito versus the Beaver Boys. That was a really good match last show. This should be a good return match. Caleb Conley versus Shane Hollister should be a really good match. I think those are the two standout guys out of the big, whatever it was, six man. And that should be solid. Blackout versus the Osirian Portal returning could be very good. It could be very good. We're going to have to see. I hope so. I hope it lives up to its potential. And that's that. They have Portugal's perfect athlete, Shana, which since last week I figured out is definitely a woman. I mean, she's an attractive woman. I have not seen her wrestle, so I know nothing of this perfect athlete status she has put herself at. I'd imagine she's pretty good. And she's up against Nevaeh, which is now completely painted as DJ's bringing in his secret weapon, perfect athlete, to fight Nevaeh because they put cake in his face. Like, DJ acting like he doesn't like cake in his face is, I mean...
What the fuck?
You know, so that's just that's a silly little booking he did. Anyway, they got this crazy eight man, and it's Greg Excellent, Devin Moore, Shane Strickland, and Matt Tremont versus Alex Colon, Rory Mondo, Biff Busick, and Joe Gacy. I can't imagine this match not being a clusterfuck, but we'll have to see. I believe it's where the fuck can you get this? This thing here, CZWIPPV.com. You can check that out for the iPay-per-view, or you can go to Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. It's also a doubleheader. If you like women's wrestling, they have WSU on the afternoon show, and I'm not reading the card. So there you go. You can check that out. Don't misspell that link because you'll end up on some fucking PWS site, I'm sure. So, think that might be all I got.
Tony Nese is debuting in PWG, and I meant to look up what the fuck the rest of that show is like, but I'm really excited to see what Tony Nese does in, PWG because I'm a big fan of PWG, and I think Tony Nese is a phenomenal wrestler, so, that's that. Shout out to the Sports Den will be on next. You know, you could, like I said, go. I gotta get commercials from everybody. I'm losing my motherfucking mind asking people for commercials this week. I'll be honest, I didn't ask nobody. I asked last week,
Nobody gave me commercials. I didn't ask this week. Still no commercials, so go figure. Maybe within the next week I'll ask again. Maybe I'll get a fucking commercial. So check out the Sports Den. They got all that shit on deck, talking all sorts of different baseball and, you know, the upcoming football season, a lot of talk being stirred around, you know, due to that. So go check them out after this. Women Love Wrestling. Check them out as well, for sure. Women Love Wrestling on Facebook. You could definitely check that out, see where you can hit up their latest show. Wrestling Soup is on tomorrow night. I'm actually possibly joining them for a show coming up soon. I don't know what week. I don't know what day. So stay tuned for that, and I'll definitely let everybody know. But check them out. You know, Mish and Joey will be on tomorrow night doing their thing, and should be good as always. Check out Stern Nation. They will be on tomorrow night as well, talking some Howard Stern. Howard comes back next week. He was off this week. So he'll be back next week, and I'm sure have a lot to talk about AGT and everything else going on. And, yeah, also check out Eric. You know, my former co-host is bringing back the Golden Cravat. So check that out. You'll hear that doing what it do. I think that's coming up like next week or something like that. You know, we'll get all the dates down and we'll get all the appropriate links and commercials and all that stuff. We'll sound more professional next week, maybe. So that's what'll happen. All right, so I think I hit everything I'm supposed to hit. Oh, and check out my friend Yolanda on the Shiznet tomorrow, or, you know, check her on the archive. That's what's up. So I think that's all I got. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's all I got. I'll check you guys out on Wednesday. I'll do another show, try to get some shit together so I can talk about some stuff. A little all over the place tonight, but yeah, it is what it is. It was free. Didn't cost anybody anything. So, all right. Check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
What the fuck?